journey into the Citadel, where our pastor is Superintendent Johnson A. Bevan III. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Yet to make a plan to get out to vote. Make a plan to get out and vote. Know where you're voting and when you're going to be able to vote. If you're in the Marin County area, in the city of Indianapolis, right now there are 6 locations that are available to you to vote. Certainly there's one. The main one is at the city county building in the city of Indianapolis, right downtown. There are other 5 other satellite locations throughout the city in the area in Marion County where you can go and cast your vote. You must, you need to, you have to get out and vote in this 2020 election. It is imperative. It is almost existential. This is an existential. This is a life-changing period of time that we're living in, and your vote has to count. So you've got to vote in order for your voice to be heard. So make sure you make a plan to get out and vote. We only have about a week and 1 day or two left to do so. And you've got this week coming up here and then up to November the 3rd, which is the election day. So please get out and vote. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And again, certainly glad to have you all with us live on Facebook as well as on our conference line. Father, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you, God, for keeping us in the night season and waking us up this morning. It's only because of your goodness, only because of your grace, only because of your love that we have been able to even to wake up this morning. And your faithfulness, God, is fresh and new every morning, every day. And so we thank you for your faithfulness to us, oh God, your hesed, that great love that you have for us. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us, that heals us and delivers us. We thank you for the blood that has never lost and never will lose its power. It has the propensity and the efficacy to always save and to deliver from sin. And I thank you for these who are watching with us today, God, especially if someone may be watching for the very first time. I pray, God, that you would speak to their hearts, lift them and encourage them, I pray, oh God. And even the saints of Citadel, those who are here and others who may not be a part of our congregation, God, we ask you to look upon them. We pray especially, God, for those who are yet being infected by this coronavirus, God. Lord, we extend our hands and our hearts to them, but God, we extend our prayers to you because we know the prayer of the righteous avails much. So God, move expeditiously in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch those, God, who have been infected. Heal them, God, and bring them through this experience with coronavirus, COVID-19. Even God, be a special strength unto those who are helping them, those who are watching after them and attending to them, God, during this period of time. And Lord, we pray again for this country. We're in dire need, God, of you, Lord, to proceed in taking absolute authority through the means that we have, God, even in this voting of 2020, oh God. You're yet on the throne. You're sovereign. You sit high and you look low. And you are over the affairs of everything that takes place in this world and in the lives of humanity. We just ask you, God, to stretch out your grace and your hand of mercy upon this country and bless this people, God, and carry us through even this moment of time that we're experiencing in this pandemic. But God, we know that your grace and your mercy is extended unto us. And we ask you, God, to heal this land and to forgive us of our sins, God, as we turn from our wicked ways. And we're the people that are called by your name, God. We humble ourselves, seek your face, and pray. So, God, move expeditiously, I ask you to do, oh, Father, in this time that we're living in all across this land and this world. And bless us in your time, this time, God, in your word this morning. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you believe that the Lord is gracious and mighty and wonderful, come on, type something in there. Let us know how much you appreciate and thank God for his goodness. You're just glad that the Lord woke you up this morning, all right? If he woke you up this morning, that's something to give God some praise for. So type a blessing and to bless the Lord this morning, to give some praise and a shout out to the one and only, the true and the living God. And we bless him and thank him for his grace upon our lives. This is a special day today. I'm going to a scripture, and we'll deal with what today sort of is for us and even what this month is celebrated throughout this country. But go with me to the book of Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to read two verses there. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I will be reading these two verses out of the New International Version, the NIV. Again, that's Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And it reads like this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. I want to utilize this particular passage, these two verses concerning subject matter to address what we celebrate and cheer on in this month. The subject title of this morning is Believing God Against the Odds. Believing God Against the Odds. Again, the scripture reads, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, against the odds. This is an idiom, and it means being faced with something in which the chances of winning are stacked so high that it doesn't look likely for one to succeed or to even come out and be able to come out on top. And just as you surely heard this phrase, I'm sure there may be someone right now who is watching with us who could say, I'm experiencing this phase in the stage of my life that I'm in right now. I am up against the odds. And when one is against the odds in life, what happens then? It becomes a matter of survival, a matter of survival. And this month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And it is a time to inform people, to educate them, to provide support, and also, most importantly, some hope. At Citadel, during this month, one of the Sundays we generally celebrate what we call Cancer Survivor Sunday, in which we celebrate those who have survived and we remember those who fought the fight against cancer. And I just want to give a shout out to Sister Angel Gordon this morning, who has coordinated Survivor Sunday at our church for probably about the past 5 years, maybe longer than that. And I just want to give a shout out to her. Thank you, Sister Angel, for bringing that ideal up and putting your energies and efforts together and coordinating these Sundays for us in these past years that you've done. And so we're here celebrating it today. And we yet celebrate Citadel survivors. We celebrate our Citadel survivors. We've got a slide. Just want to show up here. The survivors at Citadel, cancer survivors that we have at Citadel. This is our survivor spotlight. We celebrate these women right here who have survived breast cancer. We have Sister Linda McFarland, Sister Delinda Smith, and right in the middle is Sister Vera Hayes, and then there's Sister Darlene Pasco, and my own mother, Betty Bevin. And so we celebrate these survivors. I know my mother has first encountered cancer, breast cancer, back in the late 80s, 1988 and 1989, and she is still with us today. So I just thank God for his grace, not only upon her, but these other women who are cancer survivors. And so we're dealing with beating the odds, against the odds, believing in God and against the odds, and that we can believe God against the odds. And these are some survivors at the Citadel of Faith. And so we just celebrate them and thank God for his grace upon their life. But who is a survivor? Who is a survivor? The dictionary definition of a survivor is a person who copes with a bad situation or affliction and gets through. All right. A person who remains alive and continues to function during and after overcoming a serious hardship or a life-threatening disease. So from my perspective, all right, a cancer survivor is a fighter. You might want to type that in there. A survivor is a fighter. Won't somebody type that in there for us this morning? A survivor is a fighter. And we've got some great fighters in our midst today, all throughout this country. And even according to the American Cancer Society, in collaboration with the National Cancer Institute, it's estimated as of January 2019 that there are 16.9 million cancer survivors. The problem now with the counting that they've done is probably over that, all right? It's over that. But they're estimating that by 2030, that the population of cancer survivors will increase to 22.1 million. And by 2040, it's projected to grow to have about 26.1 million cancer survivors, great survivors in our land. But a cancer survivor, to even get more specific, refers to someone who has a history of cancer, of having gone through several phases and stages from the time of diagnosis until the end of his or her life. Dr. Chase Bailey Dorton, a breast cancer surviving physician, she explains going through all of that like this. She says it's as moving from fight mode during treatment to I hope it doesn't come back mode after treatment. Now, I know that none of us want to be faced with any disease, especially cancer. The initial shock can incite some mental and emotional agitation, especially if it's determined that it's the fourth stage. And it can make you feel frightened or even wonder about your capacity to wage and to win the battle. And it can be such a daunting fight that one would probably even dare to ask, why do I have to face this disease? But I just want you to know something spiritually. It's important to know that diseases are not necessarily God's way of exacting punishment on people. All right, we need to get that in our minds, that diseases are not necessarily God's way of exacting punishment on people. And asking that question, you know, why do I have to endure and why do I have to face this disease? We can misread the nature of God if we see sickness, illness, and disease only as punishment or judgment. And in thinking such, we really misunderstand the nature of forces that distort our human experience. And so disease is something that we don't want to experience, but unfortunately, it is a byproduct in this world that we're living in. It's a byproduct of living in a world under the curse that was placed upon the earth after sin entered into the human experience. So sickness is a reality that affects us all. We're prone to develop disease, including cancer, that can lead to death. Even the prophet Elisha, who performed double the miracles of his predecessor and his mentor, prophet Elijah. But Elisha developed a terminal illness that he died from. You find that in the second book of Kings, chapter 13, verses 14. And so you may question, does one who dies from cancer not have enough faith than that of a cancer survivor? And again, a cancer survivor will eventually die, even though it may not be from cancer, all right? But sometimes one may question, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? If someone had died from cancer, did they have enough faith than that of a cancer survivor? My response to that is definitely no. Does not necessarily mean that, all right? The famed chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews gives a roll call of some paragons of faith. I like that word paragon. It's dealing with those who were a perfect example of what it means to have faith. Just going to read another scripture to you a little bit here in Hebrews chapter 11. And it reads like this. Let me read in verse 32. It reads, "And what shall I more say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in faith, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." For the sake of comparison, in regards to dealing with our question, all right, does it mean that possibly if one who dies from cancer did not have enough faith than someone who survived cancer? For the sake of comparison, I want you to note in verse 34 and verse 37 of those verses that we read there, that in verse 34, there were some who escaped the edge of the sword. And in verse 37, it lets us know that there were others who were sawn asunder and slain with the sword. Interestingly, the editorial commendation for both of these groups right here is the same. In verse 39, "And all these obtained a good report through faith." Those who survived and those who died earned a good reputation for being what? A true witness and a testimony of what it means to live by faith. Each of those groups, all right, including these two, those who escaped the edge of the sword and those who were slain with the sword, they were considered survivors through faith and fighters by faith. So having to go through trials and torments, to experience different types and kinds of diseases, especially a battle against cancer, can be like living in a wilderness. But although we are prone to diseases, as people of God, we always hold on to hope. Hope in God, who is able to sustain and deliver us. For God's grace, I know somebody knows something about God's grace. God's grace will bring us out, or it will supply the sufficiency to sustain us to survive. In the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 31, about the first and second verse there, talks about those who survived, all right, the sword. They found grace from God in the wilderness. And the Apostle Paul is one that God let him know that my grace is sufficient for thee in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And so God's grace, all right, we can hold on to hope in God because God is able to sustain us and deliver us. He's able to supply us the sufficiency so that we can survive. So I just want to encourage you and to remind you that whatever it might be, whatever your situation might be, whatever it might be happening right now in your life, I want you to be encouraged to know that your dilemma is not a difficulty to God. Your predicament is not a problem to God. Your trial is not something that's troublesome for God. Your crisis is not a challenge for God. As a matter of fact, I think you already know that there is nothing too hard for God. What seems to be beyond the bounds of human power and expectation is nothing but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. So some situations just provide a special setup for a clear-cut exhibition of God's capability. And that's what we want. And that's who we want to be on the scene when we're facing some of these types of things. So sometimes things may get even to the point where you have to take a stand like Abraham. As the scripture said, who against hope? In other words, who against the odds? You go back and you read the story about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. God gives him a promise earlier on. And you read about in Genesis chapter 16, 17, and 18, you really get this thing in its perspective, all right? And Paul is just dealing with it in Romans chapter 4 about how when Abraham's body was basically over in terms of production, all right, God still yet gave him a promise. And he says, Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, who against the odds, all right? He believed in hope by believing in God. And so being against hope, yet believing in hope is really saying this, I'm believing God against the odds. And this belief, my friend, this belief puts you in a position to beat the odds. Ah, I wish somebody just type something real quick. Type in that comment section, I'm positioned to beat the odds, believing God. I am positioned to beat the odds, believing God. Now, being in that position, you don't have to sit back and try to pull up some episodes of the reality TV show Survivor, all right? You don't have to do that. Here's why. God can make you, as he has done others, the star of your own Survivor show, whereby you can obtain a good report through faith. Let me close tonight or today by calling on a few Survivor show stars who beat the odds believing in God. Excuse me. Noah. Y'all remember Noah? Noah was probably the biggest survivor of all time, having survived the end of the antediluvian world, the world that existed before the great flood. He survived the flood that took out everybody except those who were in the ark, again, by the grace of God, all right? The sufficiency that God supplies for us. Moses survived as a baby boy, as a baby that was tossed in the river Nile. He was a survivor. Esther was used to save the Jews from execution, all right? An extinction. Jonah would tell us that if I survived 3 days in the belly of a sea monster, you can survive anything. And again, all of this is by the grace of God. Because believing in God, we can beat the odds. Job, he survived the worst stuff that Satan can throw at anybody. Go back and read his story, his saga, beginning in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. You just find out how things just crumbled and just bam. Brought a catastrophic change in his life practically overnight in a few days, all right? The three Hebrew boys, I know you've heard about them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would tell us that if we survived being bound and tossed in a fiery furnace, turned up as far as it could go, and not get singed or even smell like smoke, you can believe God against the odds. And lastly, Daniel was thrown in a den of lions for an all-night dinner by an edict that was placed in order by King Darius, all right? Now, upon awakening up in the morning, Darius, the king, hurried to the den and cried out with lament because he just knew that Daniel had been eaten up by the lions. He cried out, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, who you continually serve, able to deliver you from the lions? And the Bible states that Daniel replied to the king, O king, woo, open up his mouth. O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. My friend, you might want to type that in there and just tell yourself again, believe in God, I can beat the odds. So my friend, whatever battle you may be waging now, excuse me, whatever the battle is, whatever you may be waging against now, it might be cancer, might be some other kind of disease. It might be just a jacked up situation, a crazy situation in your life. Whatever the battle you may be waging now, you can survive and thrive believing in God. When faced with a situation where human survival seems improbable or even impossible, we yet can believe God against the odds. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. If all things are possible with God, guess what? Then we can beat the odds with God. If all things are possible with God, then we can beat the odds with God. I want to pray with you as we close out here today. No matter what your situation is, God is the game changer in your circumstance. If it's cancer, it could be some other debilitating disease, anything that's going on right now, God is the one who can bring the magnificent change that you need in your life. Because even if it looks like it's over, we've got to be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, who against the odds believed in hope, meaning he believed in God. He believed in what the Lord had said. And we have to be the same way, all right? And I tell you, the best way to do that, first of all, is to agree with God that we're sinners. And especially if you've never received Jesus Christ in your life, that we all are sinners. We all have fallen short from the glory of God. We all have sinned, all right? And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is the gift of eternal life, all right? And we receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so if that's you today, first of all, we want to pray with you that you accept and receive Jesus Christ by confessing your sin and confessing that Jesus is Lord. If you can, just repeat these words after me if you want to receive him. That's the first step right there, all right? Father, forgive me. I have sinned. I have erred from your way. I have been rebellious and have turned against you. Save me and deliver me. I trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for my sin. He died in my place that I might have a right to the tree of life. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I declare him as my Lord. And God, I pray and ask that you grant unto me the gift of your Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me according to your word in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the first step, my friend. That's the best thing that's ever happened to you. It's better than Coke, better than Lay's potato chips, all right? God's grace doesn't have a last drop, all right? It continues on and on. I want to pray for you. You may be going through the situation, a circumstance right now. It's very difficult, and you may be dealing with some sickness. Again, something that just is out of hand, and it looks like it's improbable for you that things can get better. It may even seem to be impossible. I want you to know that God is beyond that, all right? What appears to be impossible is possible with God. Father, I pray for these who are watching now, right now in time, and those who will watch this later. The Lord, whatever their situation is, we know that it's just a light thing to you. It may seem debilitating. It may seem like it's between a rock and a hard place to us. It may seem like it's just impossible that anything can change and happen. But God, we know that you are the great I am, And because you are, because you exist, because you are who you are, God, you're able to do all things. I ask, Lord, that you would move the lives of these who are facing some debilitating disease, some sickness or illness, who may be caught in a circumstance and a situation, God, looks like there is no way out. But God, we know that you can make a way out of no way. If you were able, God, to bring this earth and this world into existence out of nothing, God, you can certainly make a way in the situations where it looks like there is no way. Do it, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, for these here today who believe in you and who may be against hope, but yet believe in hope by hoping in you. Do it, God, I pray for them and for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe God, just type and write something in that comment section. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. And in believing God, we can beat the odds. And my friend, if you prayed that prayer concerning Jesus Christ to receive him, or if you just want to have some spiritual support, we'd love to be that for you. And we'd love for you to become a part of our Citadel Cyber Church. And you can do that by texting us. Just that simple. To text this number, 7676-2317. 6760134. Again, if you're in need of some spiritual support, you have a prayer request you want us to bombard heaven with for you, or you want to become a part of our online church community, or you prayed that prayer to accept Jesus Christ, text us and let us know. Again, text that number, 7676-2317-6760134. And when you get to the Digital Connect card, complete that. And in the comment section, just let us know that I prayed that prayer. If you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, if you have a prayer request, type your prayer request in the comment section. If you want to become a part of our online church, just type online church in that comment section. We want to remain connected with you to be a spiritual support to you during this time. And again, if any of you would like to support the ministry of Citadel, there are four ways that you can do that. You can give any amount at any time, all right? You can do it right after we close out here today. You can do it later on today or even throughout the week. You can give, and no amount is too large and no amount is too small. There are four ways you can do that. One is by Cash App. Two, $COFCOGIC. Again, that's $COFCOGIC. You also can give by way of Givelify. That's a mobile giving app. And there is a blue bar on our Facebook page. When you tap that blue bar, it will direct you to Givelify. Just follow the prompts. It's easy to give, or you can download it at any point in time, that mobile app, and just follow the prompts to give. We also can receive donations by way of PayPal to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. And as always, you can use the United States Postal Service, and our address is 7676 East 38th Street in Annapolis, Indiana, 46226. We sincerely appreciate all or any support that you give. And I just want you to know, no matter where you are, you can take us along with you for spiritual inspiration and biblical teaching on the go. You can listen to our Citadel broadcast, Journey to the Citadel. You can find us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Soundbreaker, iHeartRadio. You can also get it on the Citadel website at citadelkojic.com. So take us along with you no matter where you are. You're driving in your car, you're moving around the house, doing some housework, or you're just out sitting out somewhere chilling. Take us along with you. And check out Journey to the Citadel podcast to get some strength, some spiritual support, and biblical teaching on the go. Please like us here on Facebook. You also can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citadel Kojic. And as I leave you today, and if you receive something of worth from today's teaching, please share this on your timeline and encourage someone else, and also recommend us here on Facebook. Please come back on Wednesday night. We'll be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And I just want you to know that Lady Rita Bevan and I, we love you. But more importantly, God loves you. And remember, no matter what you're going through, If you can believe, all things are possible. And with God, if all things are possible, then you can beat the odds even with God. God bless. Have a tremendous remaining Lord's Day. We love you and know that God's got everything in control. Peace out. Thank you.